And with me tonight is the lovely and beautiful and amazing.
I'm not starting it over.
I've gone right to that. Lovely, amusing, in fact, and amazing Amanda. Uh-huh. And tonight we're going to talk about Whiplash, which, you know, it's kind of interesting. You being so great, this is like an introspection on greatness, essentially, this entire movie, and what it takes to be great. And the trials and tribulations people like you have at being so great in life, and everything that they do, and what it takes, and who you have to step on to get there.
Are you recording this?
No, I absolutely am. This is how we're going to enter this one. Since you wanted to, since you made a do-over, and we're going to do a do-over.
Because my take two.
Yes, this is your take two. So we're going to, this is take two. All so, right. Talking about Whiplash, and we have J.K. Simmons, who I personally love. There's a tie-in. We'll do that later. We'll save the tie-ins.
We'll save it. Let's save it. Let's save the tie-ins. Let's go in order here.
Yeah, and we have, this is actually a movie that was directed by Damien Chazelle. And he's kind of young. I mean, he's 30. I mean, he's, this is like his only his, I don't know, second or third. He did the...
I'm kind of young.
Yeah, you kind of. Last Exorcism Part 2. Hey, don't you have a birthday coming up?
Yeah.
Which one is that? Which number is that? Is that... That's not 30, is
36.
It? 36. Plus what? And then... he only had a couple movies prior to this that he had directed. This is one that he wrote and directed. Really, it's about his life... To some extent, as a musician, his young life, and there's.
What do you mean? I thought you said it wasn't a true story.
It's not a true story, but it was based upon his experience as a musician.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
You just found
out
now.
I asked you that.
You asked me if it was a true story. It's not a true story.
You didn't say that the writer had anything. All right. Well, we'll just. All right. Let's go with it.
All right. No, I'm serious. I mean, it's not that it was a true story. In fact, there are many people out there, you know, musicians and such that, you know, that one of the big things in this movie is...
The bleeding hands.
Yeah. I've seen some things where it says it's true, and I've seen lots of other things that said, you know, and this is true. I mean, my limited music experience... teachers tell you when it starts to hurt, you need to stop because you really can damage yourself.
No, I, you know what I think? I don't think it happens like with rock drummers. But that kind of drumming when you're doing repetitive stuff over and over I could see it happening.
I think you're right to some extent because like Miles Teller, who's the guy that plays Andrew Neiman in this movie, he's actually a musician and he wasn't. I've read things where people said that, you know, you can tell the stuff that he's doing on screen is not the same stuff that he's playing, the music that's behind it. You know, it's like you can tell that they're dubbing it in because most of us couldn't tell because he's just hitting like 50 million times. You wouldn't be able to tell. But when I see that, I almost wonder if they had stuff out of sync a little bit. Or whoever saw it out of sync because they're saying that 40% of the drumming was actually like in the music was actually used.
It's decibel.
Oh, are you kidding me?
You can't stop now. She's trying to get her toy. She'll stop. People will like it. They have cats too.
We may have to punt a cat. Is she close enough to punt? She did. Okay, good. I didn't know what that was, a cat or a kid. But they did say that 40% of what he drummed was made into the soundtrack. So that's kind of interesting. So I don't even know if some people complain.
Nobody's going to pay that much attention to if they were. No.
Well, I'm just saying.
I wouldn't.
Well, I know, but.
Unless it was obvious, but it wasn't.
Well, I don't know if
it went so fast. How are you going to notice anyway? I mean, the way he hit the drum was so fast.
But even, you know, Miles Teller, who played the role, said that. His hands got blisters and stuff from doing it.
Yeah,
you'd expect
sure,
it.
Sure, but that...
And because I think the jazz drummers, as far as I know, put the drums between their fingers, and I think that tends to cause more... It's not like...
You think they would wear gloves or something, or tape their hands.
They might.
I don't know. I think it was exaggerated, but...
You know what that brings me back to? It brings me back to the excellent drumming you showed me the other day when we did a little bit of pour some sugar on me. I mean, like
Def Leppard drummer?
Your Def Leppard drummer parody, where one hand goes inside your shirt.
I didn't.
Oh no, that never happened.
I didn't. I used two hands.
Absolutely, but the drummer doesn't, does he?
Not anymore.
Did he ever have two hands?
Of course, he had two hands.
No, but I mean, like, but did he was he ever a drummer in Def Leppard with that way?
I think so. Oh. I don't know. You don't have that in your notes?
No, I mean that was just an aside based upon something I might have videoed this week.
While you're talking, I'll look it up.
I don't know. No, don't even bother. I don't think we need to know that.
I just want to know.
So J.K. Simmons, do you know very much about him? Have you seen him before anywhere?
I don't know. Which one is he?
He's the teacher.
Oh, no.
You know he won Best Actor for this role, right?
You told me.
Yeah. I mean, so from the nerdy aspect, J.K. Simmons was, in Spider-Man. He plays the guy.
Which Spider-Man?
He was in the original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst. He plays the newspaper guy. And he plays the role excellently. He's also in those commercials for the insurance.
Where, Geico?
I said Geico. I don't know which one it is now. But that's what he... One of the strangest things he was?
He did. He had two arms.
One of the strangest things?
He lost it in 1985.
So that
and he's been with Def Leppard since 78.
Yeah, but I don't think they... Pour Some Sugar on Me was after... 1980.
All right, well, I'm just saying, he's been with them since 78, he lost it in 85, and continued to play.
I know he continued to play.
Well, clearly, but...
I mean, you did a whole, like, act with him. You said
that he ever had two arms when he played with them, so yes, he did.
I guess it apparently did. But they weren't big before 85, I don't think.
All right, well, he does better with one arm. I don't know.
I don't know. I just said that he couldn't have done what Miles Teller did in this one.
Probably not.
So, Miles Teller was in The Spectacular Now. He was also in the remake of Footloose.
I didn't see
it. I didn't see that either, but people like that. And, the other thing that he's in is the tie-in is that he, with something that you're interested in, he was in Divergent as well.
Yeah, I've tried to watch that like 10 times and haven't gotten
He played Peter in that, and he's actually...
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
He's actually really good friends with Shailene Woodley, who is the one that was in The Fault with Our Stars and is the lead character. He's good friends with her, and they went to a couple things together.
The Fault in Our Stars people were from Divergent, too.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same two people. Shailene Woodley was in Fault with Our Stars and The Fault in Our Stars and Divergent. And so was he. So there's this whole tie-in with those guys together.
So the guy is the same guy from The Fault in Our Stars?
It's not this. He's not the lead. He's okay. one of the people. Yeah, no, he's not in Fault in Our Stars. He's in Divergent.
Divergent.
He's one of those. Yeah, okay. It's not the same guy. He's had some big friends in the industry, obviously. So the other aspect here is that he had a good relationship with Nicole Kidman as well.
Who?
Miles Teller. I think he got it from, I don't know if it was from Footloose. And he obviously had a history.
You need to turn the sound down on that other stuff.
He obviously had a history in drumming and musician. He was a musician, but prior to doing this. The other thing, so here's my, I got two sort of.
He was, because he played a pianist in it.
Who did?
Who are you talking about?
Talking about Miles Teller. And J.K. Simmons did play the piano.
Oh.
Terrence,
he did play
the piano.
Right.
Yeah, he did. He does know how to play the piano. J.K. Simmons does. But I'm going to give you my two geeky sort of tie-ins now. Mm-hmm. So Miles Teller is going to be in the new Fantastic Four as Mr. Fantastic in the 2015 reboot that's coming out this year.
Since I haven't seen the first,
No, you did.
No, I didn't.
You sat here with me and Nicholas and watched it. That's the one with stretchy guy and Invisible Girl. Well, Nicholas watched with me.
No,
you were here too. You just didn't pay attention.
I did not. I never watched it.
Yeah, you didn't pay attention.
No. No, I never watched
it. You did, but you don't remember. You just don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, and then the other tie-in here is the girl, because this movie really had no girls in it for the most part. You know, it really wasn't. But they did do a very telling thing with women in it.
Well, yeah.
From the sense of...
He blew her off, and then she was like, oh, that's my boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, her name is Melissa Benoist, I think is how you pronounce it. She played Nicole in the movie. Her big... And here's one of the things. I think she was actually given top billing in this movie, and she only played in the movie for 10 minutes. Like, she was only in it on screen. She had a very relatively small part in this movie. It really wasn't about her. But what she's going to be Supergirl in the TV series that's going to come out on... I don't know which station is going to have it, but she's going to be Supergirl. So we have three geeky tie-ins.
Three.
J.K. Simmons used to be in Spider-Man.
Oh.
So we're up to three.
I mean, that's the stuff you find from this?
There's not a lot into this movie. Yeah. What's remarkable about this is you take this movie.
Let's talk about the movie.
No, we are talking about the movie. We're talking about the actors that were in the movie. The movie, so when we take a step back looking at the movie itself, what is this movie really about? It's about what it takes to become great and what people have to sacrifice to do it. So there's an element of this movie that despite, no matter, you know, wherever you look, what do you have to do to become a Tiger Woods? What do you have to do to become the best in what it is? Who does it take to propel you? In Tiger Woods' case...
Tiger Woods had anything like that done to him.
Oh, yes, he did.
This
dad.
Was an extreme case. This was extreme.
His dad started him at 3 years old. A guy like Tiger Woods, and you can say whatever you want, he's obviously not who he used to be, but he was driven from such an early age. Most of these... Even you take Michael Jackson, one of the greatest performers ever. Why was he who he was? Because his dad was riding him.
His dad was abusive. But
Tiger Woods' dad, I think, in the same sense, was probably abusive. I can tell you, what you will find is, I think the sacrifice of greatness usually is, you know, in many cases, you have to give up so much of yourself to become that great. I don't care who you are, in whatever field it is, to be that good, you almost have to give up something beyond what is normal. You can't have those relationships. Like, you know, I know in my own life. I mean, I could, if I had just been driven to go and do everything that was geared towards money, I would have had no ties to a place. I would have moved where the company wanted me to move every time they wanted me to move. I could get a bigger job. I could be cutthroat. You can do it. But you have to sacrifice something in yourself to be able to do that. And that's what this movie was about, essentially. It's not about everything else has to be...
No, it wasn't. It was not. It was. I mean, he sacrificed the girl for a minute, then regretted it, and...
And then in the end...
And in the end...
In the end, he sacrificed everything. And that's...
He didn't, though. Yes, he proved a point. He didn't sacrifice everything. He proved a point.
No, you know who proved a point? The teacher did.
No, he didn't. He did not.
No, here's the difference. If you haven't seen the movie yet, spoilers galore coming up. So just excuse yourself from this conversation. So here is the reason why. Here's the reason why he did. Because... In that final scene, Terrence Fletcher screwed him. He got him to sit in that chair and not... He said, in this place, you will make yourself and they never forget. And he also, just a little bit before, said, the great ones never quit. So he's sitting there in that chair and he pulls a fast one. He was ready to do Whiplash.
Yes.
And he put up a song he had never seen and he failed, and that would have been the end of his career. And what did he do? He could have just walked away.
And he started to. And the teacher said, you're done.
Yeah, but he came and sat back down. And he started doing his
drill. The teacher didn't show him. He showed the teacher.
Oh, you see, here's what you don't get.
No, the teacher did not expect that. He did not expect that. He thought he was going to shame him right off stage.
But they had, by the end of that.
I saw it differently than you did.
By the end of that exchange, they were on the same page.
Sure they were. Because the student showed the teacher.
No, because they both got what they wanted out of the relationship. He got that perfect performance.
Yeah, the guy, what was he called? And, Charles?
Whatever, I don't know. Whatever the guy's name was. But he got the perfect performance that he wanted, and he got to be that perfect guy. He got it at that moment. And the sacrifice was...
It wasn't about the teacher. It was about the kid.
You don't get the symbiosis there.
I do.
You don't.
I do, but I still... Don't,
some, okay. At some point...
Well, you saw it one way and I saw it the other. It's fine. It's fine.
Not even about that. I'm just saying... But I think you can extend... So I put aside all the stuff about music.
I get that they both got what they wanted, but it was the student who showed the teacher, not the teacher. The teacher wanted him to leave and embarrass him and shame him off stage, and his career was done.
But he also
no way, I'm going
to
do
he
it.
He also wanted to create the greatest... His whole thing was geared
did, but
towards
creating... him. Not
yes,
him.
Absolutely.
He so didn't, you think maybe he not, expected him even in the slightest to come back?
No, but when he did, he got what he wanted, though he didn't expect it. He got it in the only way that it could happen. He got it in the only way that it could happen.
That wasn't what he was setting out to do. He was setting out to pay back this kid for turning him in.
But I'll tell you something. I'm just take us that moment when he did that. I wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't either.
And it was brilliant.
I agree.
It was so evil and so brilliant and so. I mean, think about the acting that was in this. The acting alone in this movie was fantastic.
I agree.
To me, this out of just about every movie I saw last year. There's only one other movie that I really love to this degree, and it's
Twilight.
No, I'm talking about movies that were actually done in 2014. You have to know what the other movie is.
I do.
Dun, 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 you don't know.
The Notebook?
What movie did I see 1,500 times last year?
Oh. What's that called? With the root group and the little raccoon?
You really...
The Avengers? Really, no, it's not. I only saw it like 6 times.
You didn't see it 6 times.
I did. You made me watch it a lot of times.
No.
What's it called again?
No.
What's it called?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that one.
But and that movie, I loved it because I think they got that completely right. But this movie, to me, was excellent. And really, the reason why it was so good, I mean, what would you say, what made this movie so good?
The end.
Not even the end. I mean, the end was great, but I mean, what made this movie so good? Who carried this movie, in your opinion?
I can't say. I can't say that it was the teacher or the...
Oh, man, the teacher was excellent.
He was, but I think the student was equally as... And he challenged him every second he could. He challenged him all the way. And none of the others did. They just moved aside when they were supposed to. He didn't. He stood up for himself and he challenged him.
Yeah. I don't know. From my perspective, J.K. Simmons, this was his role. I don't think you could have got anybody else in that role and had been as effective as him.
No, he was great. I'm just saying, I think the student was, and I don't even know his name, because I didn't take notes, but...
I don't have my notes in front of me.
What's his name in the movie?
In the movie?
Yeah.
What's whose name?
The student's name. The drummer.
That's Andrew.
Andrew.
He's Miles Teller. I knew it was Miles. I couldn't think. Yeah. Andrew Neiman is his name or something along those lines.
But he always calls him by the last name, I think. Or no, he calls him second. Or what does he refer to him as? He's not the first in line. Like, he's not the first.
He's not the first chair.
He doesn't. I don't think he really talks to them by first name. He calls them by, like, whatever order they are. Whoever's playing first and then whoever's backup.
Yeah, there's the guy, there's the first and there's the alternate.
Yeah.
Alternate. Because he was an alternate in the scrub band at first.
Right, and that's kind of how he refers to him. He doesn't really address them properly most of the
movie. No, he was...
But I don't remember the exact term he uses.
I don't remember either. But, you know, to me, this was out of all the movies I saw, from last year. This is up there. You know, it's rated as high as I've rated anything for the year.
That was very well done. I agree.
I mean, you know, out of the, I'm only missing two movies that were out of the Best Picture perspective. I've seen, so the ones that were up for Best Picture were Birdman, which I have. You haven't seen it yet. I saw that. Mm-hmm. It was in the theater. Whiplash, American Sniper. I've not seen American Sniper.
No, and I want to. That's the one I keep saying I want to see.
We'll see it. And Grand Budapest Hotel, I saw. That's no, that was done early in the year. I have that one, so you can see that if you want. And The Imitation Game, I saw on the airplane. Loved it. That is way up there in my list, too. Selma, I have not seen. The Theory of Everything, we saw together. And Boyhood, we saw together. So out of that list, I got to go back and see Birdman again because I really liked it. It's got Michael Keaton in it.
I know.
And, you know, but this was a really great movie.
It was definitely a great movie.
But I was reading stuff by people that are from Juilliard that said that you know, the stuff that they did with the hands and stuff would never have happened. It was unrealistic. But you know, sometimes those guys are on the wrong side of it. They're the Fletchers.
Juilliard probably have ballerinas that have bleeding, broken toes.
Yeah, I mean, like, so that's the instructor saying, oh, we'd never do that. We'd mm-hmm. never push a kid to that. And yet, you know, when you're at Cornell, mm-hmm. when I was at Cornell, kids were throwing themselves off of bridges because they were trying to get to where they needed to be.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I think it's extreme, but I think there are people that...
But what they really showed with this guy was he was almost like the guy Bobby Knight from Indiana, the basketball player, you know, get up in people's faces mm-hmm. and scream and, you know, and the role that he did there. But then I read a bunch of things from other people where, you know, they talked about their experiences. They've had teachers like this guy, you know, that get up in your face and scream, you know, like.
No, I never did.
But I don't know about these band guys.
You know what I do wish? I wish it was a true story. That would have made it.
It wasn't true, but it was experience. And what you have to think about is what the kid experiences is different than what the teacher might have been trying to do. You know,
the teacher just won. He won on both. He won. He got what he wanted. And the kid won, but he had to fight for his win.
Yeah, but the teacher also lost his job.
Yeah, but in the end, he said, if you don't make it, I mean, some of the biggest names are there. The biggest names weren't at the school.
I always, here's the thing that I always get about teachers, and this is not a condemnation in the least, is that he wasn't that good himself a little bit then.
No.
You know what I mean? It's just like...
No, not when we saw him as a musician. He was nothing spectacular. No.
Well, no, he was playing at a great place at one point.
He was playing at a local bar.
That's right. He did play at kind of a...
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be a big name coming to play there.
Well, it was special guest, yeah, whatever. But still, it was a...
The element there, though, I was going for was the fact that, you know, when you get to the point that you're teaching as opposed to doing, it's almost like... You know that you've reached your limit, that you can't excel. You know, if you were the grand master yourself, then you wouldn't be teaching; you'd be creating music, right? You know, so it's like, to some extent, there's that old saying: if you can't do, you teach, or something like that. What is that? There's some sort of, you know.
I think that was it.
If you can't do it, you teach. You know, like. There's some element to that, you know, he's teaching because he's not that guy either, you know? Because if he was that guy, he'd go and be doing the music.
Well, and that's, I think, what they pointed out when they showed him as the failure teacher who was playing at a dive bar.
Yeah, because it wasn't really, like, a great place
that
he was playing.
No, and that's
why
it said special guest, and he's in this, like, you know, anyone could pick it up, bar.
Yeah, after all of his garbage that he did to other people, there he is playing in a dive bar himself.
Yeah, the piano in this
little bar. Yeah. And he probably was fantastic for that venue, but he still...
But he wasn't picking up the...
No, he wasn't playing to an arena or anything. But I don't know. So overall, besides the emotions that this movie might have gotten for you, one way or the other, you know, on that whole A to F scale, what did you give this movie?
A to F?
No, I mean, like, we're grading it.
So A is not good in this case, and an F
A,
is?
A is good. It's the same. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because 1 to 5.
No. Well, 1's still good.
5 stars is good.
Oh, no, 5 stars. You're right.
I wanted to make sure. I thought it was an A. I really did. It was a great movie.
This was a good movie for me, too. This was definitely out of the movies I've seen, probably one of my favorites from 2014.
Yeah, I thought it was a great movie. Yeah. I thought it was very well done. Some things were exaggerated, but I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, you know, I guess if I had a greater grasp of the subject matter, I might nitpick that element a little bit more. But I think there's enough there to understand it so that you don't have to completely nitpick it. I didn't really think that the movie, this is always my pet peeve on movies, is that it wasn't formulaic. I didn't know where it was going. It went in a different direction than I expected.
Yeah, me too. I didn't expect that.
You know, and there's this new vein, which I kind of like in movies. And I think this is why it gets nominated for Best Picture. From that perspective, they didn't do, you know, the corny love story behind it while all this was going on, that he gets the girl in the end. And, you know, normally...
Well, it doesn't even go there.
But that's what I'm saying. And you know what? That's why nobody went to see it. You know, that's what the sad thing is.
Nobody went to see it. I didn't know it. You looked that up.
I happened to come across it when I was reading about it. It was like, this is like the lowest, you know, grossing movie ever. And why? Well, because they didn't do demographics. They didn't go, we got to get this person checked in, and we got to get the teenage girl here. And, they just didn't do it. And to me, it was a brutal.
That was fine. I didn't miss it. And there was enough to it that I missed that.
No, because it was. And here's the other thing that I loved about it.
You don't really think about it. You don't think about it that kind of.
But here's what I liked. The other part that I liked about it was a simplistic movie. It was made for about $3 million. It still is a success. It made $12 million. It was made for $3 million. And so it had a very low budget. And they probably, most of that budget went to the actors, and there were some great shots in the stuff that they did, the camera work, everything else I thought was excellent in the movie, the way they shot it. But it shows you how to do a movie on a low budget.
Actually, they probably didn't need the only thing they really probably needed anything for was the car crash.
Well, right, they had a car crash scene but they had to pay the actors.
Yeah,
you know, the people that ran it. They had some fairly up-and-coming actors that probably made, you know, okay money. J.K. Simmons, this is the biggest role of his career.
It wasn't like some big scenic movie where they needed special effects.
No, they didn't
need all that.
But that was my point. How do you make a good movie on no budget? They did it. You could have taken that car scene out. You didn't even need that car scene, you know? You didn't even have to have to make it a great movie. That was a big moment in the third act where they had, you know, this big, you know, fallout or whatever. But
which I actually think probably would have been better if they took out, because it any other student would have said, hey, I was just in a car accident and my car was upside down and I'm still here.
They wouldn't have cared in that environment. That environment was not about that. There was a big stretch in the imagination level at that point, that whole sequence of events that went on. And that was fine with that, because that wasn't really it. It was the big turn at the end when he screws him over that really, you know, had some stuff with. But my point is this, is that, you know, this is how you make a movie on a low budget. You write something good. You know what I mean? Like this guy wrote this, he wrote this, and that's why sometimes it's hard to write things that are good consistently, because this was near and dear to him. This is something he experienced. What do you write best? Stuff that you know. You know, and he knew this. This was his experience. But that's the only thing I'm saying, because you see all these low-budget movies where they, you know, just do, like, the rote thing. They throw this in. They throw that in. It's the same elements over and over. This one stepped outside the box to me, and that's why I liked it.
I agree. I think it did.
So
it was a great movie.
Excellent movie. So that's about all I have on it. You have anything else on it?
No, I think we covered it.
I think we covered the entire thing. So we'll have some more reviews for you soon. You can go to Movie Cigars and a Brew at Facebook.com. You can follow me at Movie Cigar Beer. And as always...
No, it's not Movie Cigar Beer.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Oh.
on Twitter. It's Movie Cigar Beer. That's how I set it up.
I apologize.
Aren't you following me on there?
No.
You should be.
I do not.
You should be.
I do not do Twitter.
Oh, well.
I also follow the rules, or I'm not allowed to make any noise during this whole thing, and your phones are going off.
I know. I gotta.
Computer phones.
No, no. You know what?
Next time you say, shh, make sure everything's
You know what? You know what?
Your stuff's going off. I don't want to hear it. Next time, I'm gonna make sure that
you know what was going off for you. Your cat. So
once.
No, your cat.
And I can't control the cat. You could turn the volume off on your phone.
The cat never does anything, and then every time we turn around, the cat is going off.
On your phone.
Can you push silent on your cat?
That's the whole point. Make sure you don't make any noise and turn this off and dump them into that and turn the TV down.
No,
and
your phone's
making bubble noises down there and chiming.
Make sure that cat is quiet.
Well, you know what? We'll let everyone just decide on their own if the cat can be muted or your phone can. Because I'm right and you're wrong, but that's
You know what? Next time, we will be cat free. Mm-hmm. We'll find a way to make that happen.
We'll do it outside.
Talk to you soon.